This is the Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I know you have a company, sir, called the Pacific Report, which gathers statistics and raw data on Americans and their habits. So you're a pollster, right?
First of all, Phil, I do teach high school football.
I know that. So you're a high school football teacher and a math teacher, but you have this business part-time?
I do have this business part-time. It is done on my time. And I have a number of clients, news gathering agencies. We have two food companies and an auto mall. So I have it because it helps me also in a statistics class that I teach. And the complaints that people have called in about our efforts to conduct these surveys, I think have a lot to do with the fact that I was raised Catholic. I think people hate Catholics. Obviously, I got a lot of prejudice as a kid growing up Catholic. And now with this whole Catholic priest thing.
Well, they say that what I've heard, sir, is that you are conducting phone surveys and you get a little pushy. And what has happened is that they have called the DA and they would like to have your business either shut down or curtailed.
All right. I'll address the DA situation first off.
And for you people just joining us, we're talking with Vernon Dozier. He is a president of the Pacific Report. They do, would you call yourself a pollster?
We gather data. We conduct polls. You can call us that if you want. There's a lot of different terms for it. But data gathering, really, and statistical compilation is what we do.
All right. So they say you were getting pushy on the phone.
Well, when you say they, Mr. Henry...
Well, I'm talking about the people that you call.
Oh, absolutely. And to answer that question, no. I was not pushy. I was conducting a phone survey, and the question was... If they felt anxious or worried after 9/11, I asked people on a scale of 1 to 10 how anxious or worried they felt after 9/11.
Okay.
And I found out what I usually find out. People lie. They won't tell the truth. Other pollsters put up with it. I don't.
Now, what do you mean by other pollsters put up with it? And what do you mean that people, when you call their house and you ask the question, are you more anxious after 9/11 on a scale of 1 to 10? How anxious are you? You are ascertaining they're lying?
Yes, I am. And I'll tell you why. Because most of them are saying not that anxious, or I'm sort of anxious, or it's a number, it's a 5. Only 3%. Now listen to this, and I want your listeners to hear this too, because this is such a lie. And, I have conducted my business openly and above board. And when I call your home, and I don't mean you, Mr. Henry, but anybody, and I ask you a question on a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you after 9/11? And you say, a 4. You are a liar. You're a dirty.
All right, calm down. Okay.
Well, it's what I do for a living.
All right, so ask me the question. You don't have to ask me the question. So most people are saying they're not that anxious.
That is correct. Only 3% said they were highly anxious. Now, that is and allow me to characterize it, Mr. Henry, that is a filthy lie. They're just as nervous and anxious as they were. I am anxious. I am nervous. My wife is anxious and nervous, and I think it makes sense to be anxious and nervous after all the things we've heard about nerve gas and everything else. And I call these homes and I say, how nervous are you? And people say a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10. That is a disgusting prevarication, and I will tell people that I don't believe them.
Well, the problem you're getting into is you're saying you're going to call back, right?
I simply say to these people, you want to be a comedian? I can be a comedian, too. And so I call them back. Now I say, are you ready to give me the truth?
Well, there's a thing, Mr. Dozier, called torturous business practice, where you make repeated harassing or annoying phone calls. That is against the law.
I'm not making harassing phone calls. You got to understand something. I am making phone calls that are based upon a business need to get accurate information. Now, when I call a home and I say on a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you about 9/11, and some housewife... who wants to pretend like she's a big shot and she ain't scared, says, I'm only a 4 or 5, I will say to her, you are a liar. You're lying to me. You're lying to my clients. And I'm one pollster. I'm one survey taker that isn't going to take it. Now, Gallup, the guys that work for New York Times, the guys that work for Time Life, whoever, they take it. They'll swallow as much of that, it comes out of your rear end. They'll just go ahead and put it between two slices of bread, take a big bite out of it, and smile and go, I don't. I don't. And that's the difference between me and...
I gotta tell you, those polls that if you don't mind me interrupting...
Go ahead.
Those polls that I hear published, well, 100% of the American people say this and 20%, I just take them with a grain of salt, man.
And the reason for that, Phil, is because most people are lying sacks of you-know-what, so nobody takes them serious. When you get a poll that has been commissioned through the Pacific Report, which is my company, by God, you're getting the truth.
And well, what is the percentage of Americans that you think are still nervous about 9/11 then?
I say, based upon the stinking liars that I've been talking to, I would say a good 45 to 50% of the American people are as nervous and as scared after 9/11 as they were in the months following 9/11.
All right, we're talking with Vernon Dozier, who has been, you've been contacted by the DA, sir. I don't want to bring ill repute upon your business, but that's the truth. People think you're harassing them. This gentleman has a business called Pacific Report. They conduct phone surveys. They're pollsters. And the question that you asked 2 days ago was it 2 days ago, sir?
It was a weekend question, yeah.
All right. It was, how nervous are you or how anxious do you feel after 9/11? He said only 3% of the people said they really feel anxious. He considers that to be out-and-out lying. Why are people lying?
As I mentioned, they want to pretend like they're big shots, like they're tough. And
all right, so people think that they want to be a big shot to a pollster?
Absolutely, Phil.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I guess I got to ask the audience this question, too, because I think it's a very good question. When a pollster or a surveyor calls your home, do you tell them the truth?
I think you should ask that question, and I think you should also say something else. If my company, Pacific Reports, calls your home, then you better be ready to tell the truth, because I can sniff horse dung from blocks away. Now, I know when someone's lying to me. And when I ask the question, how nervous are you?
How nervous are you, sir, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't mind telling you, Mr. Henry. I'm very anxious. I'm very anxious. I have acid in my stomach. I am extremely anxious after 9/11. Why wouldn't I be? That is a normal thing to be after 9/11. I am scared. I'll tell you right now, my wife, I cannot fly without my wife bringing towels to towel me off because I'm in a cold sweat. Now, that starts from the minute we hit LAX to the minute the plane lands, wherever we're going. I am drenched in sweat, and my wife spends a good 85 to 90% of her time on the flight toweling me off, patting me down, going and getting more towels because I am soaked in sweat. And the other thing that I think is impacts us all, Phil, is physical health, because this does affect one's physical health. And I have not had probably I don't return to a solid bowel movement for at least 2 weeks. Now that is the God's honest truth. See, I tell the truth, but people that I call up, hey, are you worried about 9/11? Oh no, Jesus.
You know, sir, can I point something out?
Yeah.
You sound very angry.
I am angry, sir. I'm very angry.
You sound angry, and it sounds like you're so angry you're ready to break something.
I'm simply saying, don't treat me like an idiot. When I call your home, and I ask you, and when the woman lies, she says she's not scared, then I tell her, I'm going to call back. And if you don't tell me the truth, there might be some trouble.
All right, now that's what the DA is going to say is a threat.
Sir, what I'm saying...
That is a threat, sir. That is a threat. That can be taken as a threat. You can't call someone's home and say, you're going to be in big trouble.
I'm not saying physical violence. I'm not.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything, sir.
Then why say that?
Because it gets them to think.
It gets them scared.
Well, then maybe for the first time in their lives, they won't lie. Lie, lie, lie. That's all I get.
1-800-449-8686. Gemma, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just listening to this gentleman. I'm listening to you, sir. And you're getting so upset, and I don't understand why. Whether people overestimate or underestimate how they feel about a question, really has no pertinence. It doesn't make any
difference.
Yes, it does.
It has pertinence to my business, to my business. And my business is gathering accurate data for the people that contract with us to provide them with information.
I don't understand.
I'm sorry? Hello?
Jim, are you there? No, we lost the caller. Okay, let's... That's too bad.
Well, if I could answer the lady's question.
Go ahead.
You know, she asked me why am I emotional. Okay, I'll tell you why I'm emotional, because this is my livelihood.
Well, you're a high school teacher.
No, but this is a business that I've started. And when some housewife thinks she's going to sink me... Now, you got to understand something. I applied for the loan, the small business loan. I have bought the computers. I opened the business up in the basement of my home. And I told the people that I work for that they're going to get accurate information. And when some housewife that I call up thinks she's going to sink me after everything that I have done, after pee and blood.
Okay, sir.
No, but Phil, I was in an automobile accident 2 weeks ago, not 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago. That caused
I know, but I don't need to hear the you really are passing blood, sir?
Yes, I am. As I was racing home to compile data, because it had to get emailed on a I forget the name of the file, IPG, I think, or something like that, or I think it was on an MP3 file, but I had to get the stuff emailed, and I raced home, and I ran into a car, so I could almost hear the fear whistling out of that woman's rear end, and God.
All right, hold on for just a second. This is a man who's built a business, a statistical data assembling business. It is his feeling that when he calls people's homes to get information on a survey, they're lying. I try to be honest, don't you? Do you ever get these calls at the house, Craig or Janice? I get them at the house. If I have time, I will take the survey. Ever since I bought my new car, I get a lot of these. Can you tell us how you like your car? I was on the phone for a half an hour with this lady. I was trying to be very polite, right? I realize some of them are time-consuming. But I personally, I'm just speaking for myself, I try to be as honest as I can be. This man thinks that people who respond to surveys at home lie. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Back with Vernon Dozier. He is a pollster. You do this as a part-time business, sir. You also, are you calling from school right now?
Yes, sir. I'm in a teacher lounge right now, but the business that I conduct, sir, is primarily a weekend and early week business.
Well, it's a part-time business, but you're calling people up, surveying them. You ask the question, how nervous do you feel after 9/11? And they said, not really. You said only 3% said they really felt nervous. You find that to be untrue.
Not only do I find it to be untrue, I think it's a purposeful lie. You know, I've been taking these surveys for a long time, Mr. Henry. What's to make people tell the truth? Nothing. You go, hi, my name is Vernon Dozier. What's your favorite color? Purple. Well, you are a lying pile, because nobody would say purple. Everyone knows that that's a lie.
And you're calling these people back?
That is correct.
All right, well, the DA of Los Angeles County is familiar with your case, sir. And
please don't indict me, Mr. Henry, before this thing goes to trial.
Well, I have a tape recording of you. Are you familiar with Marjorie Hubert?
I'm familiar, and I've heard the tape, and my attorney has a copy of it.
All right, I'd like to play a segment of it on the air, if you don't mind. This is you calling this woman back and demanding that she tell you the truth.
I have nothing to hide, sir. Go ahead.
All right, here it is. Craig, go ahead and hit it.
You are lying! You are lying! I said you're lying! Tell me the truth, you cut!
Please.
Sir, that sounds frightening.
I'm proud of that call.
You're proud of that?
Yes, I am, sir. That.
Did we lose the line? You there?
I'm right here, sir, yes.
You're proud of that?
Yes, sir. That's what I call grade A work. That is grade A survey taking work.
Screaming at a woman, an elderly woman.
Oh, don't bring the elderly woman thing. Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. Every time somebody says to me, elderly woman, it reminds me of my mother. My mother was an elderly woman, and she was as tough as a $5 steak. I'm telling you, she was dead. She played that old lady thing, too. She played me. She played my father, and he died of thrombosis at 55. So don't tell me the old lady thing.
It's a scary tape, sir.
Well, you know, I can't stand the heat. Get out of the kitchen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Judy. Go ahead, Judy. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Well, I think this man is crazy, first of all. And I'm not a housewife, so unfortunately I'm not home to get his telephone call for a survey. But if I did, I would have to hang up on him. He's obviously a very sick man, and he needs psychological help. And just hearing him
say, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Someone would lie and say that their favorite color was purple, well, right off the bat, he's got a screw. Purple is my favorite color.
Well, you know what, then? You're a liar. And I've got no problem calling
you. I feel real sorry for you, sir.
Oh, you feel sorry for me?
Really,
you know.
Help.
Okay, let me ask
you
something.
Really,
let me ask you something. I can prove you're a liar. I can prove you're a liar. Name something that's purple.
Anything I want to be purple.
No, you don't know. You
think,
my favorite color is blue.
The clothes that I have on today is
my,
purple.
My favorite color is blue.
You have
you're
right
a
to
lying.
Call anybody a liar.
Yes, I do.
Because
you're
a
liar.
Your phone numbers doesn't make you the right person.
See.
Why do you think
you
this lady's?
Need a lot of help.
Why do you think this lady's lying about purple?
Because everybody who has a favorite color knows something that is that color. She didn't have anything. My favorite color is blue. What's blue? The ocean, the sky. See, I know what's blue,
the
but she's got no favorite
purple,
thing.
Sir.
She's got. How about
you
a flower?
You do the
you
best.
Know of a purple
you
flower?
Do the best trying to talk over purple, talk
purple.
Over people. Because you could talk faster, and perhaps because you're a school teacher, you've learned to talk over people.
You know, Ms. Yes, I do. Nice. I have to talk over babbling children, and many times the purple people. Did you just say that?
You're in the wrong profession.
Wow, did you hear what she just said, Mr. Henry?
What?
She said purple people. And I'm nuts. And
no.
I'm nuts. Yes, you did. I've got my own tape. I have my own tape of that call, by the way. I've got my own tape of that call. Listen to this.
You are lying! You are lying!
I can't believe
he is crazy.
I can't believe you would be proud of that.
I am. That is what we call grade A professional
How
work.
How could anyone be proud of something like that?
Judy, you are a lying sack. Okay, and that's
I
all I'm going to say.
This is an elderly lady. Have some respect.
Oh, don't start with the elderly lady thing. My mother died at 97. She put my father in the ground.
I'm not 97.
She
but
tried
I
to put me in the ground.
Woman.
All right, Judy. Thank
and
you. All right, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We're with Vernon Dozier. I'm going to take more phone calls, guys, after the break, so hang on. I only got about a minute before we... how can you say you're proud of that work?
That is standard by the book survey work. Now, you ask anybody. Ask Gallup. Ask New York Times Survey. Ask Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The big ones, the LA Times, Mirror Company. That is standard by the book work. And it is
that's like those cops that beat Rodney King saying, oh, yeah, that's exactly what we do. Something's wrong with that.
So now you're going to tell police officers how to do their job. I just want to be clear, Mr. Henry, that you know you know everything.
No, I don't know everything. And
listen to this.
You are lying.
You sound insane.
Lying. I am proud of that work.
And you hear the lady saying,
"Tell me the truth."
Do you hear the lady saying, "Please don't"?
Yeah, that's what old ladies do. They play weak. They're not weak.
1-800-449-8686. This man calls your home, takes surveys, and if he thinks you're lying, he'll call back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
You are lying! You are lying! I said you're lying! Tell me the truth, you cut!
Please
That's a tape recording that we procured for our broadcast of our guest today, Vernon Dozier. He's a man who has a survey company, and he harasses people, according to the DA.
I think you need to really watch what you're saying, Mr. Henry.
Allow me to just finish, sir. You are harassing people when they don't tell you something that you think is the truth. You call them a liar. You say that they are individuals that are engaged in trying to, you know, cover up. You call them back, etc. And I believe, and you think that that screaming and yelling is professional work.
Absolutely. I stand by it. I'm proud of it. Because if you, and this idea again of old, see, most of the people that you contact during the day when you call these surveys are, guess what they are? Take a wild guess.
I'm not going to do any guessing, sir. Please tell me.
They're old people, okay? And what they do is they sit at home, and they get a phone call, and I'll say, hello, I'm with the Pacific Report. Can I ask you some questions? And now all of a sudden they think they got a call from their long-lost son, and they're going to sit there, and they're going to bang my ear and lie and lie and lie and lie on my favorite colors.
Hello?
I'm sorry. My favorite color is purple. And no, I'm not nervous about 9/11. And, yeah, I think the new Toyotas are great. And every filthy lie. And my mother, who could open a can of tuna with her ass. And I mean that, Mr. Henry. And
I don't think I appreciate the reference to your mother that way, and I don't think she's even relevant to what we're talking about. We're talking about your abusive behavior, sir, conducting these surveys.
It is not abusive behavior. Let me tell you something else. Call my clients. You can call the various news agencies that I work with. You can call the... I've got two food companies that I work with. I have two auto malls that I work with. I get results.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Renee. Go ahead, Renee. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I've been listening to this ridiculous talk about you. I guess my thing is, I've got just one thing to say. You're calling me asking my opinion.
Yes, ma'am.
You're taking me off guard. First of all, you're interrupting my day. And by the way, I am a housewife. I work my early day, get my day in. I'm home after noontime, so I would be home, and I am not old.
What work are
and
you
I am
your housewife?
Listen,
what,
I am
what,
talking.
What work are you,
you
doing?
You allow me
let
to
the lady
speak.
Finish.
I'm a phone
See,
operator,
she's already
so
lying.
I do exactly what it is that you claim to be doing.
She's already lying.
No.
Why?
Listen.
Because she
I
said
am,
she was a housewife,
what,
and she's not.
What is the reason for you thinking that me giving my opinion, which is what you're asking for, what do I have to prove lying to you?
Okay.
What do I have to prove?
All right, here it is. What you have to prove? When I ask people the question, are you more nervous today than after 9/11? And they say, no, I'm fine. It's because they want to pretend like they're tough and they're big shots and
or
they're not scared.
Or it could be that they're confident the country is actually doing their job now.
That's a very good point. People are not afraid of because our country is protecting us.
Oh, I suppose that's why 200,000 people were marching against the war. Give me a break.
And that's also their opinion.
Okay, let me ask
is
you a
not?
Question, Renee. Let me ask you a question, Renee.
Uh-huh.
200,000 people, as formidable as that is, does not represent the entire country. What is your question?
My question for Renee is, it doesn't represent the entire country, huh?
No, sir, it does. It was 200,000 people in San Francisco.
That was 200,000?
Yeah.
You said 200.
That's not a lie. I misspoke.
All right, let me ask the lady. What's your favorite color?
What does that have to do with this conversation?
I'm going to illustrate.
You want to ask me the
I
question
illustrate
that you
a
asked
point.
Your caller?
No, I want to illustrate a point, ma'am.
You want to ask me the question
See?
That
She's
you would
afraid.
Ask me.
She's afraid to tell me, Phil, because she knows I'll call her on it.
Call me.
What's
you know
your
what?
Favorite color?
Call me. I'm home.
What's your favorite color?
Red.
Oh,
is she lying?
Yes.
I'm lying. And why am I lying? Because I'm giving my opinion to you?
Nobody.
Because my answer is not the same as yours? I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Ask the lady the question that you asked people.
All right, ma'am. Do you feel more, on a scale of 1 to 10, how anxious do you feel now after 9/11?
I would say 50. 50% or 5.
Oh, you see, that's a filthy lie.
And because yes, my husband doesn't have to swath me with cloth, I'm lying to you? Because I heard that, too.
What is that, ma'am?
You said that your wife needs to swathe you with cloth because you're dripping sweat. Because that doesn't happen to me, sir. I'm lying to you.
Ma'am,
I don't understand.
There are millions of Americans that go weeks without a normal bowel movement.
Bowel movement have to do with this? You're being ridiculous. Let's talk about what we're talking about.
No, ma'am. It reflects the level of anxiety. All right, first of all...
So does sweat, but I'm not sweating about it, because that's what my country is supposed to be doing. They're taking care of the issue.
Mr. Dozier, I can tell you that while I go into the world knowing that it's a different world, I do not go into the world mopping my brow of sweat or having bad bowel movements.
You know something, Mr. Talk Show Host? Your job is to look good for your...
No, don't go down that road, man. I'm telling you the truth.
Your job is to look good for your listeners, so you lie your ass off. And
listen to this tape, Renee.
You are lying! You are lying! I said you're lying! Tell me the truth, you god!
Does that sound like a man who's well to you?
No, and I'm going to tell you this. If he was in my school district and teaching my kid, I would not allow it. And I don't think he should be in that
Ma'am,
profession.
I've won six divisional titles, six 2A division. Now, that's the first truthful thing you've said.
Good.
You know how I know?
Because you've won a medal.
You've got to watch your language, please.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I apologize.
Yeah, see, she can say that, and I'm crying out. My soul is crying out to say the F word right now, but I can't.
Look, don't be angry at somebody who has called in with a very intelligent and very honest. And Renee, I thank you for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. She's being honest. Her favorite color is red, and she's not nervous.
You want to hear something funny?
Go ahead.
Her favorite color is yellow, because she's got a big, bright yellow streak right up her back. And that's what's happened to America since 9/11. Now, I need to put a wine cork in my rear end from the fear, and I bet you have to put a thermos in yours. So why do people lie? I'll tell you why they lie. Because they want everybody to think they're a big shot. They want everybody to think that they're, you know, big time. They want everybody to think that they can do it all. They're like, what is that freak that they had on the news the other day? That daredevil son of a bitch who shows everybody up, makes everyone else feel as if they got a penis about yay big. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I know the American people because I conduct surveys. And when they tell me they're not afraid, they are lying, capital B-I-T-C-H-E-S. You can spell that one out, because I certainly won't, sir. I have too much respect for your audience.
Well, I think they can spell, sir.
Well, okay, but at least I didn't say it like that lady said, the S word, and my soul has been crying out to say F or MF.
Let me go over to Lydia. Lydia, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, yeah.
Yes,
I'm calling about your September 11th question.
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe a more appropriate response instead of yelling at people is to find out why they answer so low. That would make it a more thorough
survey.
Liars. Because
they're liars.
Perhaps you might find, like me, I would say a 4 or a 5 myself. And why? Because that's something that I have no control over.
Why can't you tell the truth?
So it's the truth. I have no control over it. You have no control over it.
Right.
So it's not healthy
why
to
do I need
worry
to?
And make yourself ill over something you can't control.
Okay.
And some people's response
Teresa.
Might be that. If I can't control it, I'm not going to let it control me.
Okay, Lydia.
So maybe a more appropriate response would be, why do
Norman
you feel
Vincent
that
Peel.
Way?
Lydia.
Why
don't you write a book? Because, you know...
don't be rude.
Well, she's trying to give me advice.
Sir,
I am trying to explain
to you why you might be getting the answers that you are getting so that you can get a more informed opinion instead of yelling at people.
Ma'am, I can tell
when
you
this. Yell at people, you're doing the exact opposite of what you're trying to do with taking polls, which is get people's opinion. If you yell at them, then you're not going to get their opinion. But if you ask them why they feel that way, then you'd know, and you can give your clients a more informed opinion.
Is that it?
One other thing.
Oh, I didn't think that was it. Yeah.
No,
let the lady say what you...
No, that's okay.
I'm concerned the fact that you are getting so worked up, even over just these phone calls, sir, and that you are having health problems is something that you really should check. You really need to go to a doctor to figure out why you're having these massive sweats and bowel problems, because that is an issue for you.
Is that it?
Yeah,
because
that's
if
it.
You have anything else, don't let me hold you up.
Well, would you like to ask
all
me
right,
my favorite
sir, color? Do you want to be sarcastic?
No, I'm not. All of a sudden, she's Dr. Kildare, Mother Teresa, Norman
Well,
Vincent
you
Peel,
seem to know that everybody's lying. What are you? You're the great Christie now? You know the truth?
Ma'am, I'm a survey taker. I'm
you
a
must
poster.
Be a psychic because you know everybody's lying.
But, all right, let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how scared are you after 9/11?
Well, if you were listening to what I said, I would have told you 4, and I told you the reason why.
That's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. And you know something?
Oh,
are you religious?
Yes, it is.
No, ma'am, are you religious? Because there is a hell. I believe in Jesus Christ, and you will cook.
Oh, well, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you really need to get down on your knees.
And the
because
guy's
you
and the
cannot control
you
the situation, and you are trying to control people, which, if you know anything about God and the Bible, it's a freedom of choice.
Lydia,
everybody has
Lydia,
a freedom of choice.
You lied today when you said it was the great Kresge. It's not. It's the great Kreskin. So that's a lie. You said...
That was a mistake. That's not a lie.
No, everything's a lie because he knows everything.
When was the last time you had a solid bowel movement? I just...
That is none of your business, but
well,
let me tell you this. I do not break out in sweats, and I do not have the problems that you have.
Ma'am, I don't think I've got a health problem. I believe that
Do you think it's normal? Do you think that's normal to not be able to use the bathroom and, as you say, to put a corkscrew up your behind? Do you think that's normal?
I would say this, that ever since 9/11, it is a natural fear that some raghead is going to jump out from behind a building and toss a bomb at me. Okay, that's number one. Are you going
to
have normal bowel movements?
To you, that probably could happen, and not by a raghead, by the way you treat people. Second of all, it's not a normal response to have it happen in the manner you're getting all worked up over conversation.
Yeah, you can't get into an airplane and mop your brow with sweat.
Hello, both of you. 9/11, 2001, two airplanes flew into two buildings. Another one flew into the Pentagon. And I am being irrational?
At this point, yes.
What's up?
Hello? The fact that you are getting so worked up at this point, yes. The government is
Lydia, my mother.
We're not talking about your mother. I don't want to talk about your mother. I heard about your mother.
She has nothing
to do with this issue.
She haunts every waking moment for me.
Well, you need to go and talk to somebody about that. That's an issue. That's an issue that you need to work out, and maybe that'll help your sweat and your bowels.
When I go outside, I run as fast as I can in a zigzag motion to avoid terrorist bullets. And I scream in fear just looking out the door. And why
sir,
do I do
that? Sir,
why,
please, and, you need to talk with someone about that can help you. I can't help you.
And why do
what I
do
I can
that?
Say to you is that you need to speak with someone and get counsel.
Oh, God.
You know, if that's, you've got like agoraphobia, you have.
Oh, really? Okay, well, listen, Ben Casey, can we?
You know, I will say this, you are a sarcastic son of a gun, aren't you?
I am trying to save my life and the life of my kind. I want to ask Lydia a question for my survey. Lydia,
yes.
What is your favorite color?
My favorite color is maroon.
What? What do you mean maroon?
Oh, well, it just...
Maroon. It's
believe
a color.
It. It's a red color. It's a shade of red.
I thought maroon... Forgive me. I thought that was you know what an octoroon is, right?
No, I don't.
You don't know what an octoroon is?
You don't have to tell her.
No, I thought that's what she was referring to.
You don't have to tell her.
An octoroon?
Never mind what an octoroon is. Lydia, thank you so very much for being another voice of reason here, because when I hear that tape...
That's not even a color. Maroon is what happened to Gilligan. All right?
Okay, well, you go get a box of crayons and check it out. And another thing that you should check out is really, seriously, all jokes aside... With the problems that you're having, the problems that you stated about your mother, you need to talk with someone about them, and that's serious.
Oh, boy.
Thank you for allowing
Thank
me
you
to
very
speak.
Much, Lydia. Listen to you, man. And what do you mean maroon is what happened to Gilligan?
That's what marooned is.
Maroon is a color. It's a shade of deep red.
Well, that's my mistake.
Oh, well. At least she's not lying.
I thought she was lying.
You thought she was lying?
Yes.
What's your favorite color? Marooned. In other words, what's your favorite color? Factory.
What, Factory Gray or...
Oh, come on, you jackass. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, the problem with you, sir, is you're a control freak. Here is Bob on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Fine.
I'd like to respond to this guy. I think that he's the one with the yellow streak.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
You know what? Say that to my face, and bad things happen to you.
Oh, you're threatening me?
Sure. Sound like some twerp.
Yeah.
I coach football, number one.
Okay.
All right. Enough said.
Yeah. What, your point?
You say that to my face. You say I'm yellow to my face. And
well,
you won't be vertical for long.
Well, you know, but anyway.
Well, that was, you know, watch your language, Mr. Dozier, okay?
I just like to say a couple of things. Number
right, okay.
One,
we got a break.
Aren't you going to hear what they got?
No, neither do I want to hear you either. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for the Phil Henry Imitator of the Week.
Okay, this week's Phil Henry Imitator is the Joe Millionaire Show. Yes, I know they pulled a massive goof on America, but we've been goofing people to a willingly participate in our goofs for 12 years on the radio in America. Then we get to L.A. with the show, and suddenly everybody at Fox is a genius. So we salute the producers of Joe Millionaire.
That was the Phil Henry Imitator of the Week.
Imitator of the Week? What did you say?
I'm sorry, Bob.
That's okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You heard me. They're ripping me off. Yeah, Joe Millionaire ripping me off. Oh, yeah. So all of a sudden doing goofs, Jamie Kennedy Experience, at least he admitted it. You know, phone yanker crankers, or yank my cranker, or whatever the hell that Jimmy Kimmel thing is. Get out of here. We'll be right back.
And now, Phil Henry.
We're back with Doug Danger, entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. So you are an entertainment but you, writer, Doug, but you're going to produce a reality show.
Well, the idea, Phil, is to evolve the Joe Millionaire idea. The one thing to be attracted, it's one thing to be attracted to a millionaire if he's good-looking, 6'5", strapping, good-looking guy. A lot of people saw the Joe Millionaire show last night. But it's another thing to be attracted to a multimillionaire who is physically challenged to the point of almost full incapacitation. Our show is going to reveal that side of humanity that we've never seen before.
All right, you're going to have a millionaire on who is physically challenged?
We are going to feature a gentleman, Phil, and I met this gentleman 2 months ago, and he's an amazing guy. His name is Gary Godwin. Gary won a judgment against one of the leading auto manufacturers in this country after his truck that he was driving in was pinned under a gasoline tanker. This happened on Interstate 80 out near Salt Lake City.
Good God.
He lost both of his legs. He's had some scarring around his forehead. He has restricted use of one arm. Severe internal injuries. He lost part of his intestinal tract. He has a colostomy bag. He's got a pump for other functions. He's on dialysis. This poor man is never obviously going to be the same from the injuries that he suffered. It was a horrible crash. There was a lawsuit, which he did win. And it was a very sizable nine-figure award. I'm not going to tell you how much, but nine figures.
Well, that's over $100 million.
That's over $100 million. Gary has a beautiful home in Park City. He's got a beach house in Atrancas Canyon, two homes in Manhattan. He's a great guy. He's a little temperamental, but I think anybody would be temperamental if someone came along and dragged you out of a flaming wreck when you just as soon die. So he's very upset, thinks about that a lot.
I don't understand. He's upset about what? That somebody saved him?
Well, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be saved and not have any legs and have a pump in your private area. One of the things I think is important, Phil, is to show America this guy, Gary, because he's a terrific guy. And we're going to do that with our new reality TV show. Now, what we'll do is introduce him...
To some women?
To 30 beautiful, eligible bachelorettes. That's right. And we're not going to lie to these women. They will be assured beforehand that Gary has a lot of money. He really does have millions, and in this case, multi-millions. And the women will compete to be chosen... And they will stay for another week and eventually become his wife. Now, obviously, the difference is this is a man who's not 6'5" and who is gorgeous. He's lost both his legs. He's on prosthetic limbs. He's on support systems. Now, keep in mind, I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist. I came out of the closet a whole month ago, Phil. So I know what is politically correct. And I'm going to tell you, this program is going to light a fire under people emotionally.
Now, I want to get this straight. You're going to have 30 bachelorettes competing to be the wife of a man who is in a wheelchair with no legs and physical scarring.
That is exactly right. Who's worth a lot of money.
He really is a millionaire.
He is a millionaire. Gary won an award from a civil court in Utah, nine figures. And
well, so what do the women do? I mean, so the women do what?
Well, here's what's interesting. They're not going to be horseback riding. They're not going to be skiing. They're going to have to change a colostomy bag. They're going to have to bathe him. They're going to have to feed him.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, oh, boy, do you love him?
Well, you're going to have women. Is anybody in America going to believe that the woman who ultimately becomes his wife is there for any other reason than his money?
But look at what she's got a stomach. And I say that with a great deal of respect for Gary. I love Gary. I've known Gary for a long time. But this program...
I think that was a poor choice of words.
Well, listen, Phil, I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. I've been working in the field of reporting on special interests for a long time, so I know what's politically correct and I know what's incorrect, so please don't lecture me. What I'm saying is, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, this show's going to be about how much these women can, yes, I'll use the word, stomach. How long would you stick around bathing some guy with a colostomy bag and no legs?
If I was a woman?
If you were a woman.
If I loved the guy?
If you love the guy, with the fact that this guy's got a nine-figure millions of dollars influence your judgment?
I suppose it would. I mean, but I don't know how you fall in love with a guy in 2 or 3 weeks or however.
Well, it's a six-week program.
Does he have it? So these women are going to have to change him and feed him and...
Oh, yeah. And because he has that internal injuries... there are times when they're going to have to clean up some things that are not very pleasant. So this is what we're talking about.
This is a show that's designed just to see how much these women can take, like you said.
Just like Joe Millionaire, Phil, but it's beyond. We really find out if they have love in their hearts. Now, the name of the program is one that a lot of people are going to be shocked at, but we needed a word, we needed a name... that is going to hold people.
All right, hold the line here. I want to give our number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. A new reality TV show being proposed. A guy who is physically challenged, has lost his legs in an automobile accident, but who is worth millions, and the 30 women who will compete to become his wife. They'll have to bathe him. They'll have to change his plastic legs or whatever, but they inherit half his money.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
What is the name of the show?
All right, this is what I want to tell you. We need a name that is going to be sort of reminiscent of Joe Millionaire, but we want the name of this program to also be something that will get the youth to watch, get the kids to watch. The name of the show is Joe Retard. Now, here's the reason why we call it that.
Joe Retard.
Here's the... I know you don't like it, Phil, and it...
Well, that's what you want to call the ultimate insult.
No, wait. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Don't lecture me on what is politically... This is a perfectly fine name because, A, it relates to the youth.
It... Why? Because kids use that term a lot?
It relates to the youth. Please allow me to finish, Phil. It relates to the youth. I came on here to tell you about a program that I think everybody's going to find very endearing. And they're going to find it, I think, a great lesson in human nature.
I know that, but the name Joe Retard, the guy is physically challenged.
That is true. But we didn't want to call it Joe Cripple. We didn't want to call it Joe Physically Challenged. That sounds, to me, that sounds politically incorrect. But to say Joe Retard...
He's not even mentally retarded, though.
No, that is exactly right. But people will be drawn in believing there's obviously something wrong with him. And the word retard is what grabs them.
Joe Retard sounds to me like the most insulting name you could possibly call a TV show. Why would anybody want to put that on the air?
Phil, I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist. I have been out of the closet for a good 4 weeks. I have seen so much in my career. And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I will tell you, trust me, please trust me, this is not offensive. This is a program that is going to carry with it. And Gary's the judge, too.
Gary Godwin is who we're talking about. He's a man who was in an automobile accident.
Yes, that's right.
He was in an automobile accident, pinned under a gasoline tanker, lost both of his legs. He had scarring. He's had internal injuries. So Gary's going to judge the women to see who's right for him.
That's right. Gary is the judge. If it doesn't feel right to him, they won't get chosen. This show can show the depth of human caring and be in a week and week out a highly successful program.
And you're calling it Joe Retard.
We're going to call it Joe Retard because we think that'll grab a lot of the youth vote.
All right, let me ask you a question here. Doug, you're a gay man. You're a gay journalist, as you have said.
That is correct.
Why don't I do a show that has guys meeting guys and call it Joe Fag?
Because that's homophobia.
Why do you get to make fun of a crippled guy?
Excuse me. Having some guy in a wheelchair with a colostomy bag have his pick of 30 beautiful women, that's making fun of him? Well, I'm so sorry, Phil. I'm so deeply sorry that I brought 30 beautiful women into the life of a guy who's got two plastic legs.
Well, you're saying, can the women stomach it?
No, I mean, can they do the hard work it takes to take care of these people? But people are going to tune in every week to see, can these women take it, being around a guy with no legs and all of this, and having to change his anything he needs changed, you know? And, I think it'll be very challenging. Very challenging. And at the end, after the 6 weeks, he will select the woman that he wants to marry. And then we're going to find out if these women, what truly is in their heart, if they can take it or not, if they can stomach it or not.
You know, it'd be a better show if you didn't tell them that there was millions of dollars involved.
No, we're letting them know right up front, because then we can decide who the gold digger is. That's the fun about that. Phil, television needs to include our physically challenged.
Calling it Joe Retard is an insult.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And you...
All right, maybe I'm not even ground with you on this.
As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I know what's insulting. That's not insulting.
All right, Doug Danger has joined us. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The show is called Joe Retard. A man... this is a real multimillionaire who won an award from an automobile manufacturer. His car was pinned under a gasoline tanker. As the result, he won a nine-figure award. He is crippled. He lost his legs in the accident. There's physical scarring. 30 women will compete to see if they can become this guy's wife. He's got well over $100 million. And when Doug says we're going to see week in and week out how much these women can take, I think that's insulting. It's like saying being around the guy is stomach-wrenching. And, I point that out to him. He says, well, he's gay, so he knows better what is politically incorrect. I admit I'm at a loss there. I'm not in any minority. I'm just Phil Hendry. But calling a show Joe Retard when the guy's not even mentally challenged, this is a man who's physically challenged because kids will relate to it, I don't get. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Doug Danger, entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. He's also co-producing a new reality TV show called Joe Retard. And the program features a man who's physically challenged. He was in an automobile accident, a horrible, horrific accident, in fact. A guy by the name of Gary Godwin from Salt Lake City. And Gary has inherited over $100 million from an award. He didn't inherit it, right, Doug?
No, he got an award, Phil, from a auto manufacturer who was sued in excess of $100 million. I think the beauty of our program is we're going to have 30 bachelorettes, and these girls are beautiful, Phil. And let's see if beauty's only skin deep, all right? Can they stomach being around? And
I wish you wouldn't use the word stomach.
Well, can they be around him and stick it out, and one of them be chosen to be the wife?
And the name Joe Retard, and you say that you...
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I find nothing offensive about that. And I'm gay. I find nothing offensive about that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Madison, go ahead. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
I cannot believe that network is allowing this guy to do this.
Well, we've pitched the network, ma'am, and I think if you can get past, you probably don't like the title of the program. That is a point we're trying to sell it on. But I think if you can get past that, I think you see a show that has great sensitivity and a program that is going to see just whether women really can love men for who they are, or do they always have to have money?
I think a lot of women can love men for who they are and not what they have.
I'm a gay man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
But you just came out of the closet, what, 4 weeks ago, you say?
Well, ma'am, I've been gay, and I've seen some things in my life.
Uh-huh.
And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, my view of life, I think, is a little bit more acute because I've had to put up with discrimination.
So you would be okay with them calling Joe Fag? You'd be
that? That's homophobia.
Joe Retard is not...
Why do you think that that's wrong when we are giving a guy in a wheelchair 30 beautiful women to pick
because
up?
Because that's something
guy is crapping into a bag on his side. Okay? This guy has no legs.
That doesn't give you the right to... Oh, so in other
words... That's right. That does not give you the right to call him names.
Let me pay you,
sir. You don't want people calling you Joe Fag. That is wrong.
Yeah, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I can't. That stuff just slides off my back.
This person has a disability. You said you're gay. Okay.
Joe Fag. You could call it Joe Gay. Just like if they had a program that featured only African Americans, you could call it Joe Color or something, or Joe Negro, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not trying to be insulting.
Joe Retard is the same as saying fag or anything like that.
No.
So you'd be okay with a show saying Joe Fag?
No, ma'am, I would not. That is homophobia. And
Joe Gay would be okay.
I'm surprised that an African American would go down that road, considering what you people have been through. Your people, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Madison, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. The you people thing, that don't make it.
Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I know it's insensitive. I know it isn't insensitive.
1-800-449-8686. Melissa, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just curious, why do you have to preface everything with the statement that you're a gay man and you're a gay journalist? That does not give you the corner on the market to know what's insulting and what's not. Your sexual preference you let me finish this time.
Okay, but I'm gay.
Your sexual preference has nothing to do with if it's something is insulting or not.
Calling it Joe Retard
is absolutely insulting. If you were a mother with a mentally handicapped child, you would find this revolting.
No, ma'am, I would try to get the child on the show. Once he was old enough, I'd try to get him on the show, or you could do a lot of things.
Yeah, you could get him on the show so you could find a bunch of gold diggers. And these gold diggers, I hope that they have one iota of common sense, that they can find out that when your spouse receives a settlement, half the time the spouse is not legally entitled to any of that settlement.
Well, ma'am, we make sure legally that the women are going to stand in good stead for that money. So that's all taken care of.
They said the same thing on Joe Millionaire.
But why are you offended? Are you're not retarded?
Why am I offended?
Are you retarded? Or I don't understand why you're upset.
You know?
Wait a minute. What do you mean, are you a retard?
You wouldn't have asked me that if you didn't think that was offensive.
Ma'am, I'm a gay man.
So you know that is offensive.
I'm gay. and I've been a gay man and a gay journalist my entire life.
Again, you have to preface everything with I'm a gay journalist and a gay man.
Because I know what I know.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Ma'am, I'll tell you what it has to do with. I know what's insensitive. And I
because
know
you're
you have a tardation situation at your home.
I agree. You might know what's insensitive. I do agree with that.
Do you?
But that doesn't give you the corner of the market for that.
Ma'am.
There are plenty of other people who know what's insensitive. I work with special needs children. We don't call them retarded, and I'll be damned if I'd ever watch a show that is called Joe Retard.
Ma'am, I have been out of the closet for 4 weeks.
Yay for you. I have
trailblazed a lot of things in the gay community. And you said you have some kind of a...
trailblazed for 4 weeks. Hey, good for you.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I know.
It doesn't bother me.
Times.
I know, but it doesn't bother me that you don't have any respect for me.
I have respect for you, but I have respect for homosexuals. I have no respect for your opinion.
Yeah. Ma'am, if you're tardophobic or you're homophobic or you're...
What is tardophobic?
I know. I love that word. Tardophobic? Is that in your Funkin' Wagnall?
Ma'am, I'm trying to say...
What is tardophobic?
Not being afraid of a retard, but... What I'm saying,
what is it with the retard thing? Can't you say mentally challenged?
Can't you say,
oh, okay, Phil, Joe mentally challenged. That is not going to get the green light from one network executive. Now, I know some of the biggest names in television, and these people want a name that is concise, that is compact, that you can put into the TV guide. Joe mentally challenged isn't going to do it. Joe homophobic isn't going to do it. Joe retard. Does it.
But he's not retarded. The guy is physically challenged, as you said.
Right, but in most people's minds, they see a guy in a wheelchair. He's a retard.
But that's bull crap. Hey, Melissa.
Yeah.
When you see a guy in a wheelchair, you think he's mentally retarded?
That there's no connection.
What do you call a kid?
So why are you making that connection?
Well, you work with mental kids, right?
You would like to call them retarded.
No,
sure.
Do you work with mentally retarded kids?
Yes.
Okay, what do you call them?
Special needs children,
you
challenged,
you never,
mentally handicapped. I don't go to a three-year-old that can't function and call him retarded.
Well, you don't.
I do go to a gay journalist, though, however, and tell him he needs to change his opinion.
Ma'am, so you never slip up and say Mongo or anything like that?
She's a teacher.
Never.
Ma'am, saying
that
you work
so
with retards is like you try to establish yourself in the world. Oh, you're so good because you work with retards. Get
you
over yourself,
you know what? I don't have to establish myself.
All right, thanks, Melissa. 1-800-449-8686. The show Joe Retard will feature a man who is physically challenged, and 30 beautiful bachelorettes will compete to be his wife because he's worth over $100 million. According to this man, how long will the women be able to stomach it? I think the name is insensitive. The show is idiotic. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. Visit it soon. I'd like to thank Rockin' Adam Reed, who gave us the idea for that Joe Retard bit. And the voice of Doug Danger was performed by me. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Every now and again, somebody writes in, like once a year, a listener gives us an idea that we can actually use on the air, although Joe Retard really stretches the boundaries of credulity. Although they're in one of the three networks. How many networks are there? Four. They're in one of them that wouldn't use it if it couldn't, you know, could guarantee like a. What'd that thing get last night? A 9 billion share. Anyway, yesterday on the show, Larry Grover was on. He's talking about how his kids come in from school and say, "Hey, Daddy, Colin Powell's the Secretary of State. Hey, Daddy, Old Faithful is in Wyoming." He doesn't want kids telling him stuff he already knows. He wants to be the first one to tell his kids that. Plus, every time his kids come over for the weekend, he has to drink.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
It sounds like your kids must be incredibly bad.
No, they're wonderful. They're great, but they think they're always telling me stuff.
No, that doesn't mean they're bad. I mean, do they cause trouble? Do they get in trouble with the police? Do they break the law? Are they juvenile?
Well, what's the difference, you know?
There's a lot of difference. They're not, if they are just giving you information and they're sharing information with you,
what's the difference?
Then it's totally different than breaking the law and getting ended up in jail.
Well, it's the same consternation.
No, it's not. It is completely and absolutely different.
Look.
There is nothing the same about somebody, like if I come up to you and we're just talking, like in a bar, I mean, because obviously that's where you go a lot. If we're talking,
well,
and
there
I'm...
there a law against going into a bar? Everybody's making it sound like a bad.
Well, you obviously have to drink all the time.
No, I don't. Just when my kids are here.
Just when your kids are there. Well,
yes,
obviously that's often enough because you're a drunk or something, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, here you go,
exactly
calling me
sure.
names. Just like the other guy called me names.
Well, at least I can come out and say it.
Right.
Anyway, right. If you're I just come up to you and I'm volunteering information, would that be offensive to you?
You'd get
if I come up to you and say, hey, I'm Amber, I live here, you know, how are you doing?
Would that be offensive to you? No, you're an adult, right?
Well, yeah, but maybe
okay.
not to you.
And if you look sweet, obviously I'm going to say, well, let me buy you a drink.
Well, I wouldn't be trying to get a drink. You know, I mean...
You know what I'm saying?
If you come up
to me and you start talking to me and I'm having a drink, I'd say, have at it, you know. Who's your daddy?
She's not picking you up, man. Do you understand what she's saying?
I'm just saying that if I come up to you and I want to talk to you and I'm just
right.
being a nice person, not trying to get in your pants.
Right, okay.
Or not wanting you to get in mine.
Okay.
That you shouldn't take offense to anybody offering
you. You know what I'd say?
Listen. At least your kids are listening in school because I didn't listen a lot in school.
Right.
I'm not going to lie.
I
didn't like to listen and pay attention. But I did learn things and I did tell my parents. And my parents were thrilled.
They were absolutely
ecstatic that I learned things and told them about it.
And you would tell things to your parents and they never gave you the five-finger bouquet.
No, they did not.
All right, so Amber, if you came up to me, I'd say, Amber, my kids are in bed by 10. What are you doing at 10:01?
She said
not. And I would say, you're a stupid...
What?
I mean, you need to grow up.
Not everybody's trying to keep you up
just because they talk to you.
I'd say, Amber, you want the wagon master?
Okay, you're drunk, and I'm hanging up, and you've insulted this
drinking.
Lady. You've insulted this lady.
I didn't do anything.
Go eat some bread.
Oh,
Cobra.
Quit drinking? You might as well ask me not to have the visitation of my children. It's the only thing
I'll
do.
You know you can't even
Are
talk
the kids,
right, okay?
God, no kidding. Are the kids
you're,
there?
You're slurring your speech.
I'm sorry?
You're so hammered. Are your kids there right now?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
They got the barbecue going.
Barbecue? You got a 9, an 11, and a 14-year-old around a barbecue.
Unattended?
Oh, listen to Henry.
What kind
ding,
of parent
ding,
are
ding.
You?
You win the prize.
You got
okay,
a barbecue
look, you know,
going,
I'm
you jackass.
I'm 22 years old.
You are?
But I know more than you already. And I don't even have kids.
Hold on for me. Can I get another wine cooler? Are you going to keep going?
No, I'm going to hang up.
I want to get a wine cooler.
Good. Have a wine. You know what, Larry, will you listen to
Bust
me?
Bust it over your head.
Hold on. I'm going to get a wine cooler.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know anybody that drinks wine coolers? I don't. If I come into a home and a cat's pulling on one of those, I just it hasn't happened. I don't know what I would do, but it would worry me. That and boxes of wine. Anybody that's got the wine cooler thing and the box of wine. Frankly, anybody that drinks wine. No, I'm kidding. Look, I would rather drink box wine than drink French wine. All right. Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Where are we there? Here we are. I would rather drink box wine than French wine. Okay, let's talk gas prices because I just paid $2.25 a gallon right over here at the corner of Ventura Boulevard and whatever that little street is. $2.25 a gallon, right? Now, what do you suppose my instinct was? $2.25 a gallon is what we paid over here on the West Coast, but I know that the prices are jacking everywhere. Now, what do you suppose my first instinct was? My first instinct was to go and talk to the guy who runs the station and say, you're gouging because of the war with Iran. And then I realized, you know what? Complaining about the price of gas is like complaining there's not enough toilet paper in the outhouse. It's like saying the handle on the water pump outside doesn't work. Why are we even talking about it? Why are we even talking about it? Why are we even talking about the price of gas? Forget it. It's over. I'm no longer talking about how the price of gas is too much. From now on, I'm going to be talking about how we get off that oil and the new hybrid I'm going to buy. from my very good sponsor, Rock Honda. There, this is the little itsy-bitsy plug. Just a teeny-weeny plug. They're not paying me. They're not paying me. That was a lie. Honest. No, they're not paying me for that plug. And but I'm getting a hybrid. Shut up. I'm getting a hybrid. Period. Exclamation point. I am done complaining about the price of gas. Quit bellyaching whether the corner guy is gouging you. Maybe he is and maybe he ain't. That ain't the guy to get angry at. The guy to get angry at is the guy that decided that we're gonna be sucking Mideast oil until the day we die to put it into our cars as opposed to doing something real like going up. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. The environmentalists would rather we continue in Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia and Yemen and everywhere else because, after all, it's way, way better to have to deal with Saddam Hussein than just drill a little oil out of Alaska because the caribou might get pissed off. What are you guys? You guys nuts? You make me ashamed that I voted for Clinton. And I did vote for Clinton. And I'd vote for him again. See, let me explain a little piece of Americana to a lot of people. There's no such thing as liberal and conservative anymore. That's some game that a handful of white boys want to play. We got Americans. They believe some things on some issues. They believe other things on other issues. What do you say about my wife, who's a Republican and is a member of this little Republican club that she's in? And she's pro-affirmative action and she's pro-choice. Now, what do you call that? It don't sound like no Republican I know. But that's what she is. And so I don't get to be a Democrat because I'm in favor of going over and greasing Saddam Hussein at the nearest possible convenient moment. Oh, I see. I'm supposed to be lining up out there with all of those jokers in San Francisco with the 200,000 going down the street because everybody's pining away for the days of the Vietnam War? Or I'm going to be lining up with those jokers down there? Down on Hollywood Boulevard? I can't wait for the day, man. I can't wait for the day that guy dies. Why? Because it'll be fun. It'll make for good television. That's why. Anyway, forget about the gas price thing. Let's get off that oil. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. So what I recommend you do is go to your local dealership, find out when they're getting a hybrid car, test drive it, do all that stuff you do, and buy it or lease it. You get 650 miles to a tank of gas in that Honda hybrid. What do you think about that? Does that sound stupid or does that sound smart? Oh, what's the matter? Doesn't it look good? Ain't it fast enough? Charlie, this is a fight of survival, huh? It's a freaking... No, it ain't no Civic. It looks just like a Civic. No, it doesn't. It looks like... Craig thinks it looks like a Civic. It looks like something from outer space is what it looks like. No, it looks like a Civic. Really? What was I seeing? What did I see on the freeway today? I saw something on the freeway today that looked like one of those frog cars. You remember those French cars with the wheels way at the back?
Oh, you're thinking of... That's all electric. That was like a
Civic. That's an all-electric Saturn? No.
It was a GM.
Well, whatever. The fact is... Start pressuring the auto dealerships. So this is the closest I'm ever going to get to campaigning for anything on this show, right? But I'm telling you, it would be a beautiful thing. God, would that be great in my lifetime to tell the Saudis to jam it up, way up, and then sideways. That'd be so great. I had a really cool thing here on dictators down through the ages. These are the top dictators in the world right now. And guess who they mention? At number two... The Saudi Arabians, King Fart and Crown Prince Abdullah. And these two slobs have been there since 1982. They remain in power, but one of them suffered a stroke and yada, yada, yada. But get a load of this. Floggings often are given in shopping malls and announced on the public address system. What do you get flogged for? Well, for instance, using a cell phone on an airplane. You get 20 lashes. Now, using a cell phone on an airplane is against the law. But you get in America, they fine you. Would you rather be flogged or would you rather have your money taken? I would rather, go ahead, hit me. I'd rather take the flogging because my money's important to me. Would you rather be caned with a rattan with a bamboo cane on your ass or be fined $500,000? Wouldn't you take the caning on the ass? Of course you would. So as I was just about to say, the Saudi Arabians have a very evolved society. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm looking at a 2003 Honda Civic Hybrid, gasoline electric, $19,550. The hybrid is a Civic inside out, so you can expect a safe, fun, and dependable ride. Plus, its powertrain uses gasoline-electric technology that lets you travel up to 650 miles in a single tank of gas. Now, I understand everybody's in love with their car in America, and they want to go fast, and they want to have power. Hey, don't you understand what's going on here, booby? Don't you get what's happening here? All that gas you're shoving into that Camaro or Mustang or Jag or whatever it is that you drive, all that is, man, it's just another payday for those slobs over there. How long are we going to deal with this stuff? It's just another payday for all those sheet-wearing slobs so they can go buy their racehorses, so they can insult the hell out of us every chance they get. I mean, do what you want to do. Me? If I want power and speed, I'll buy a motorcycle. I'll get a motorcycle. And I'm going to tell you something else. If the American automakers don't get on the stick and start pumping these babies out faster, then I'll buy a rice burner. I don't care anymore. I don't care. If the Japanese are the guys that are making this and the Americans are still sitting on their thumbs, then I'm going to buy me a Jap car. And I may get me a rice rocket bike, too. What do you think of that? Fact of the matter is, motorcycle, I want speed and I want power and all that stuff. I'll get on a motorcycle. I get 650 miles to a gallon to a freaking tank of gas on a motorcycle anyway. If not more. So I'm doing it. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get me a hybrid. Somebody's got to do something, and it might as well be me. I'm going to drive around looking like a little, you know, like a little jerk in a little tiny electric car, and that's cool with me. I'm going to take my kid to school in it, too, and people will go, what's that? Because I'm tired of being over there with them. I'm sick of the whole idea of having anything to do with that part of the world. Just tired of it. Tired of our guys being over there. Tired of sending troops over there every 10 years. Tired of having to deal with their bullcrap. Can you imagine how cool it would be? Just dig this. We're off of that Arabian oil. We don't have any more of that Middle East oil. And some towel wrapper like Osama bin Laden starts bellyaching about us, right? Oh, gee, that's too bad. What, like we're going to get upset about it because what do we need him for? You will be afraid, America, that we will attack. Oh, what's your excuse now, man? Our troops ain't there. What is it? We living too good? By the way, I'm really loving this question that a lot of schools are asking. Why do they hate us? Why do they hate us so much? Well, number one, you know, if you're a teacher, you can tell your kids this. Number one, they hate us because they're told to. Really, honest to God, they're told to. The number one lesson about all of this in the Middle East, it has been true through the centuries. When you're hungry and you are filthy and you don't have any clothes and you are ready to rise up and put a sword right to the sumbitch that is running your country, you'll listen to anything he says. When he says to you, for instance, it's the Jews. Hitler did it. He took a country that was emaciated, Germany, in 1929, 1930, 33, and he said, don't blame me, blame the Jews. The Jews did it. Well, naturally, the Germans being what they were, hungry, angry, they blamed the Jews. And now over in Saudi Arabia and all those other little countries, oh, it's the Americans, not us. It's not us. We're not the ones that are corrupt. We're not stealing your money. We're not going out and buying racehorses and buying Mercedes-Benz while you're eating out of a garbage can. We're not building 20 palatial estates. It's the Americans. They're scumbags. Naturally, the people believe it. And it's also the Jews, because the Jews, you know, wherever you go, it's the Jews' problem. I mean, every century, every block, the Jews. It's the Americans and the Jews. Last century, it was the British and the Jews. The century before that, it was the French and the Jews. And the century before that, it was whoever. It was just the Jews. That's what they tell them. So you want to know why they hate us? It's because they're told to hate us. That's number one. Number two, why do they hate us? Because we live well. And number three, why do they hate us? Because if they're at all educated, they recognize that America has a pretty bad record when it comes to dealing fairly with countries in that region of the world. Notice I didn't say all over the world. In that region of the world. However, that having been said, guess what? You're still full of crap. And, you know, we're gonna do what we're going to do. We're going to go in, we're going to kill, maim, and destroy Saddam Hussein, whether he likes it or not. And whether everybody's getting together and painting a multicolored flag and walking around with a peace symbol and, you know, come on, man. You know, I really, seriously, Jefferson Airplane, they've been broken up for, what, 30 years? Country Joe and the Fish, it's over. It's over, all right? Fixing the Dirac, just over. Get yourself a hybrid. Go kill a moose and shut up. Go out, find a caribou, run it over with a hybrid, and be proud of yourself. All right, we'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. If we get any decent calls, we usually put them up. That's if we get any decent calls. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. Now, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. We do funny voices and more here. We'll be at the Aspen Comedy Arts Festival next week, the 27th and the 28th. We'll be on stage in the Aspen Room at St. Regis Hotel. For those of you in the area, we suggest you get into a car and drive over ice and snow. Drive very rapidly as the car slides and spins its way up the mountainside. And see us there at the Aspen Room at the St. Regis Hotel. Have a toddy, get in the car and go, okay, I'm gonna go home now. And we'll just wave goodbye as we see your car plummeting over a precipice. No, I mean, if you can safely make the trip, please do. And I still don't know how I'm getting from the airport to the thing, because I didn't... Are we supposed to get our own cab? Is that what we do? I'm asking my man Craig. He's going with me. Well, isn't that what it is? We got to get our own cab up to the thing.
I don't know.
Well, you don't know? Then neither do I. All right, 1-800, never mind. 1-800, don't make me any sadder than I am. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, this is an hour that we'll take, as we usually do on our show. Take an hour here and there to... I guess the best thing to say is to spotlight different things. And Joe Millionaire last night, God, was that great television. God! Joe Millionaire last night, you talk about Ernie Kovacs, All in the Family, MASH, Saturday Night Live. You talk about the Honeymooners, groundbreaking moments in television. Joe, Millionaire. And when he said to her, oh, and by the way, baby, I ain't got $50 million, she might as well be looking in the bowl before she pulls the chain. It's great stuff, and it's where TV is heading. And I say that knowing full well that I have a deal, as I've been telling you guys. Periodically, I like to update you on the fact that I have a television deal with NBC, and they have green-lighted a pilot. They said we should go ahead and we'll make a pilot. Do you know what a pilot is? It's a sample show. It's a sample show. It's like a pretend show. And then they look at that, and they say, well, no thank you. Or, yeah, let's put it on the air. Then you'll see it and a bunch of other shows. And that's what you call getting on the schedule. That's the TV term for that. And with all the reality shows that are out, making tons and tons and tons of money, not having to pay actors and not having to pay writers, the chance of me getting a TV show on the air is about as likely as the chance of Saddam Hussein safely going into a Starbucks in Tel Aviv and grabbing a quick latte.
Yeah, I'd like a latte and
Anyway, you're Saddam Hussein.
Well, you're saying.
What are you doing here? Were you nuts?
Well, I love the latte.
Get out of here before somebody sees you. So with all these realities, it's going to be fantastic. I wish them all well. My kids love Fear Factor. I personally love Fear Factor. And remember the woman that was at the Christmas party? We had our Christmas party this year. There was a woman who was there, and she was the date of another individual. I will not betray any names. But this gal was introduced. She was very pretty, and she was introduced as the woman who won on Fear Factor having scorpions put on her face. She was someone's date. And I found myself going, I'm applauding her. What? Hey, here's a guy, and ladies and gentlemen, the guy who won on Fear Factor, he ate 6 snails. All right, yes, yes. We need more of that. I like Fear Factor, you know. Tonight, on Fear Factor, these 4 men will face their fears. They're afraid of giving oral sex to each other. We will face their fears tonight on Fear Factor. Here's the guy who won by putting a boa constrictor up his ass. Hey. Yes! You know, and it's pretty good. Fear Factor? I mean, what are you talking about, Fear Factor? Are you afraid of having sex with another man? No, I just, come on, face your fear. Face your fears. Excuse me, but, I don't want to have sex with him because you're afraid. No, I'm not afraid. Oh, yes, you are. Come on, face your fears on Fear Factor. Get your hands off of me. Come on, you can go on to Fear Factor. Get your hands off of me. Here's a man who is afraid of taking pruning shears to his own tongue. Tonight on Fear Factor, he'll tear his own tongue out using ice tongs. On Fear Factor. Oh, I get it. You cats don't do anything that crazy, right? It's a nutty show, but it ain't that nutty. The night you have a guy on that show who tears his own tongue out with ice tongs is the night I start watching it. That's the night you got Phil Henry as a viewer. Other than that, it's all lightweight stuff. Ooh, you ate bull testicles. Are you trying to tell me that's something bad? I ate a whole duck brain when I was in China, and I had monkey brain soup. What's the big deal? And I can't get on that show because I work for another broadcast. I tell you what, you get a guy on there who belt sands his own nipples off. That's what I call entertainment. Sure. Ooh, and then he ate a bug, and he ate. And you see the looks on these people's faces. Let me tell you what, that show is strictly for amateurs. Real lightweight jazz. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow on the show? I'm going to eat a bug. Just to prove to you, it ain't no thing. When you got a guy on there who's eating out of a cat box, that's the night Phil Henry becomes a fan. Speaking of eating out of a cat box, get a load of this. Now, I got nothing against liberal, conservative, whatever these people call themselves on the radio. I know there's conservative hosts and there's liberal hosts. It's become a cottage industry, calling yourself a liberal or a conservative. And these cats say, I'm neither. I'm a libertarian. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, all right, pal. I'm a libertarian. Oh, all right. Well, that means you're a Republican that nobody understands. That's what you are.
What are you?
I'm nothing. I'm an American Indian. How? So, apparently they think there's too many conservatives. There probably are. Every time I turn the radio on, there's nothing but conservatives on the air. Everybody's talking about how the liberals run everything. So a bunch of people got together, some people who obviously don't know anything about radio, and guess what they're going to do? They got their Liberals Plan Radio Network. Limbaugh and other conservative radio personalities may get a run for their money from a new show in town that claims to be the next big thing in political chatter. Some guy named John Sinton, an Atlanta radio executive, we believe this is a tremendous business opportunity. There are so many right-wing talk shows, we think it's created a hole in the market you could drive a truck through. It ain't about the politics, baby. It's about how entertaining the show is, man. It ain't about the politics. It's about how entertaining the show is. The group led by high-profile philanthropist Anita Drobny says previous attempts at elevating left-wing talk radio failed because the personalities weren't marketed properly and they weren't entertaining enough. Hey! What a newsflash. You mean you got to market them, and they have to be talented. You guys, you know, with all due respect and with the very seriousness of intentions, you're going to get your ass kicked and you're going to lose your money. And they, and I notice where they say Al Franken. And here's why you're going to get your ass kicked and lose your money. Nobody listens to radio shows because they're either conservative or liberal. They listen because they get entertained by a point of view. They get pissed, they get entertained, they laugh, they cry. Nobody listens to the show like, oh, I avoid that show because I'm a liberal. Maybe some squirrely, odd, weird friends of yours and mine, because I work in a radio business, but they're not normal people. Go out into the world and talk to normal, normal human beings. People who get up in the morning and bathe properly, send their children off to school. They're not walking around with those earpieces and, you know those guys that walk around pigeon-toed with the sneakers that are untied and they have an earpiece in? I'm listening right now to Phil Henry. He's great. That's not a regular radio listener. But those are the guys that they... Tell us what you think is wrong with our radio station. You get 900 guys calling the station and they're all... It's all this guy and they're all people at the bus bench or something. So they're going to try to get Al Franken on this. Al, we're, if you're listening, and you're probably not because you're in New York. Well, we're on in suburban New York. Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't get involved with these screwballs because it's going to blow. Have a radio show, but don't call yourself liberal. Just do a show. Look, at, I vote Democratic, but I dig guns and I dig war. What does that make me? I vote for Democrats. I'm in favor of the war, I should say. What the hell is that? What was that? I heard a bell. Oh, I'm in favor of war, but I also favor affirmative action. I like people, they say, affirmative action, that eliminates the best qualified people. How do you know it doesn't bring the best qualified people in? Well, I never thought of it that way. Well, that's a way of thinking about it. I mean, maybe some of those black guys are better qualified than their white brothers. You ever think of that? But I'm not going to argue this. All I'm saying is I'm in favor of it. So what do you call that, man? All I'm doing here is a radio show that happens to have some political content because things have changed slightly over the last year and a half. And I've made the conscious decision to talk about it, not because I want to change the world. I got to get it off of my chest, that's all. We still do the shtick, and we'll always do the shtick, up to the point where I got radio stations calling me and saying, if we go to war with Iraq, are you going to do all the jokes and stuff? No, man, I'm not going to do jokes. We're going to play it serious like we did after 9-11, because we'll have to pull you off the air if they do shtick. No, we're going to do it like we did after 9-11. You hear me? We weren't doing shtick after 9-11. It took us weeks before we did shtick. By the same token, I'm not going to beat it to death. And if it was up to me, we wouldn't go to war with Iraq. I would send in a band of ultra-secret assassins to go in and stick one right up as you-know-what. That's what I would do. That's, you know, President Bush, get the Mossad in there. The Mossad has got a corps of highly trained assassins, and they go in and they sit and they live for a few weeks and a few months in an area. They get the lay of the land. They eat at the cafes, and, you know, they blend right in, right? Then when the word is go, actually, there is no word. They are given full autonomy. Go and do. Then they go in, they cap somebody, they leave, never to be seen. That's what they got to do with this guy Hussein. Now, maybe they can't go in and cap him, but I bet you they could plant some explosives and make life just really miserable for him. See, I think that would be a really good way to go. Why don't we just bomb every month on a Sunday? Just once a month, we'll fly over and we'll drop bombs on wherever we think he is. Anyway, so I say the liberal talk network is baloney, and just Franken, don't do it, man, unless you really, really don't want to work for a while. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If we got any decent calls, we do put them on the air, but there ain't been any decent calls for literally weeks. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
So what is this thing you were telling me, Janice? They want to get rid of smoking in television shows? They want to get rid of cigarette smoking and unglamorized cigarette smoking? Look, people smoked at one time in our history. I used to be, and still am, a blues fan. I like blues. And I was a collector of blues records for a long time when I was a kid. And I still have a few of them. And one guy that I liked a lot was a guy named Robert Johnson. He was a acoustic blues singer from the Delta of Mississippi who wrote a lot of songs that you would know now. I mean, they've made their way into rock and roll music. But was, at his heart and soul, he was a singer and a guitar player and a composer and kind of a rough around the edges guy. He hadn't been to the big city. They brought him up to Chicago to record some of his tracks. He was 19 years old when they brought him to Chicago. Now, there's a famous picture of Robert Johnson holding his guitar with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Well, guess what they did when they put him on the postage stamp? They had to airbrush the cigarette off. Now, I don't blame the government for that. Like a lot of people would. Like a lot of really dull people would. Oh, the government. I don't blame the government. You know what I blame? All of these mothers out here and fathers and special interest and, oh, you know, I can't have a cigarette hanging off of there. What about our kids? Robert Johnson smoked cigarettes. It was part of the historical record that they're trying to destroy. They're trying to destroy it. Do you realize that this is kind of a 1984 thing? The difference between your average guy who's screaming 1984 and me, I don't blame the freaking government. We're doing it to ourselves. Another thing, I'm watching this movie the other night, Apollo 13. You ever seen it? It ain't bad. Ed Harris plays a guy named Gene Kranz, who was the mission control guy. These men and women, and mostly men, it was just mostly men then. I mean, I don't mean anything by that. It was mostly men, worked their ass off to bring these guys back safely. They were there all night. They were there for days without sleep. They were drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes. Ah, and the movie points it up very clearly how many cigarettes these guys smoked. Every guy had a cigarette. What are you going to do? You want to go back and wipe that out, too? What are you, nuts? Why don't you guys find something to do? Get a hobby. I suggest you buy a hybrid. We got to get the cigarettes out of the... Oh, will you please? What? What are you going to do, man? You're going to go back and you de-glamorize... I don't understand.
Well, we can airbrush the picture of Robert Johnson so he doesn't have a cigarette.
That's history. That is a historical record. Robert Johnson smoked cigarettes. Does that make me... There's a lot of people that don't smoke today, even though they see those movies. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's a lot of baloney. We're talking about the kids.
Aha! The kids. Yes, let's bring the kids into it again.
Oh, what's better? You hate kids?
No, I don't. I don't hate kids. You do. Because you manipulate them and you use them for your own nefarious purposes. You ghoulishly dissect their young minds so that they can all go, I'm against smoking and booze. You ghoul.
Okay, Henry, hope you get lung cancer.
I don't smoke anymore. What do you think of that?
Really? When did that stop?
Oh, shut up. So, yeah, and they were puffing the weeds in that movie left and right. And I'm looking at these guys going, look at how great these men were. Here's this guy, Gene Kranz, former, combat pilot in Korea, became the mission control guy. This guy sucked one cigarette down with one drag. I mean, he had a pack of Camel Lights, and in the documentary, I'm not talking about Apollo 13 now, because I saw a documentary that PBS did, and it was, this cat picked up that Marlboro Light and just, I mean, the thing just burned down all the way on one drag. Pitched that, lighted, lit another one, went back to work. That's what you do. See, people that smoke cigarettes, they're not evil. And one other thing. I think the time has come. The next time somebody, and I don't smoke, the next time somebody comes up to you and says, put the cigarette out, or has the unmitigated gall and audacity to speak insultingly to you, they've never met you before. They've never met you before, but they have the unmitigated gall to speak insultingly to you because you happen to be holding a cigarette. You have my permission to give them the five-finger bouquet. It is without question the rudest, rudest thing in the world what has happened in the last 20 years. These assholes have come out of the woodwork and are now saying, oh, you're smoking? Yeah. waving their hand and everything. You have my permission. If they say anything rude to you, cuff them. It is the rudest. I can't even tell you. When I smoked, I remember some old bag over at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. We were going to get in for some function, and I had a cigarette. And the woman's waving her hand, and you're smoking, and she's making a big deal out of it. I should have said, why don't you take those tickets and park them? She said, I feel better now. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with more of this falderall. And your calls, not on the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
In other news, Jacques Chirac has been nominated for the Nobel Prize. Shut up. Juvenile enough. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I just thought that was so juvenile. I really did.
Well.
I mean, no, I enjoy a good laugh as much as anyone, but that was really stupid. I think it was...
Well, I have to get some frustration out about the French.
Well, I think there are ways of doing it. And you know something? I've been hearing you going off on the French... have you been to Paris?
Yes, I have.
Well, we've been several times, my husband and I. We have frequent flyer miles on our Visa card with American Airlines. We love it. We love the French. We love everything about them.
That's nice.
So I think what you did with fart noises and the national anthem of the Republic of France is insulting.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry to do that, but I think they're insulting themselves, and they insult other countries, and they're showing themselves to be very disloyal. I think in moments like that, I'm not burning their flag.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, farting over the French national anthem, which, by the way, was sung by a great many patriots who were put to death by the Germans.
Here we go. You're going to start telling me about the great old history of the French and how they fought against the Germans.
Yes, I am. Are you aware of your history?
Yes, I am. And I've already said, the French didn't fight the Germans. The French resistance did. These people were just,
There, how do you like that?
So you did that?
Yes.
So, in other words, I'm immature.
No, I'm giving you a taste of your own medicine. You know, you started in talking about something which I think could have been erudite and educational. But if you are going to be juvenile with a national symbol of the French society and the French people, I can be equally juvenile with your comments.
Did you ask me a question?
Yes.
What was your question?
I said, are you familiar with the freedom fighters in France?
And I said, yes, I am. The freedom fighters in France were not French, the rank and file.
I was sitting on the phone.
Well, now you're being a child.
No, I'm giving you a taste of your own medicine.
No, I was sitting on the phone.
I was.
So you're not going to let me say anything?
What?
All right, to hell with you.
I think, Mr. Hendry, you have to learn to get as well as you give. Okay? All right, thank you.
Excuse me, I was sitting on the phone. All right, forget it then. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. What's that?
Why don't you guess by weight? I'm sitting on the phone.
Never mind. Anyway, they have given the nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize to Jacques Chirac. And that's just neat. Isn't that neat? You know, what is it with those cats with that Nobel Peace Prize? I think it's a great thing to give up, you know, the prizes for chemistry and for the economic prize. But the Nobel Peace Prize is the Nobel Committee's way of including dumbasses in the Nobel Prize process. I mean, a Peace Prize is a good thing to give if you're going to be really honest, intellectually honest about it, right? But dig who they've given the Peace Prize to. Yasser Arafat? Desmond Tutu. Yeah, he's really down with peace. That guy was just as violent as anybody else. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't have a right to be. Don't tell me he gets the Peace Prize. And Nelson Mandela. I got a particular bone to pick with Nelson Mandela. You know something, sir? I respect you for the hardship, for the long, hard fight to free your people, the time you spent in prison, and the things that you put up with. Absolutely, without question, you deserve that respect. But just because you spent a lot of years in prison and even free your country doesn't make you a brain surgeon. And some of the stuff you've been saying lately, I think they got to take you in for an Alzheimer's test. I really, honest to God, man, I think you're losing it. I think that poor old guy who did nothing but insult, he called the president a racist, basically. Now, look, I may not be George Bush's biggest fan, but racist he ain't. And this guy Mandela comes out with his comment that Bush doesn't dig the UN because the head of the UN's black. This old man is suffering from some pre-dementia. Next thing you know, he's going to walk outside in a dress shirt and a tie and no underwear or pants. He's going to show up in front of the UN in beautifully polished dress shoes, dress socks up to halfway up his shin, a beautiful pressed arrow shirt and tie, no underwear, no pants, just nude. He's going to do what my dad did. He's going to put on two pairs of pants. And I think he showed up when he made those comments about Bush. This man is a racist. I don't understand. He's like wearing two pairs of pants, and he has a beanie on with a propeller. How do you take a cat serious like that? Honest to God, what Nelson Mandela went through to free his people is to be honored down through the ages. But when you show up for a speech wearing half of a brassiere on your head, saying things like, I think this guy does not like him because he's black. Somebody needs to get you in for a quick bowel check. Because I think it's backed up all the way into your head. Guy comes out, lays all of this beautiful, beautiful international political philosophy and domestic, wisdom. And all the while has on like a woman's bathing suit or something. It's just, you know, you can't take the guy serious anymore. He's got a bathing cap on, one of those old rubber bathing caps. You ever seen anybody wear one of those anymore? Wear it like at the public pool where the old folks swim? Man, I tell you something, we had a membership in a swimming pool because the kids were dying one summer. They were hot. And so I said, all right. So I went down to this local swim club, and I got a membership in there. And they said, yeah, we let kids in, but they got to stay in this part of the pool. Because every day they would have these old cats show up wearing, these guys are like 78 with the Speedos, you know, and bathing caps. And that's cool. But nose clip? No, 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 no. They got that nose plug thing?
You listen, you kids get out of the pool, okay? This is for adults. Adults only.
Do you realize how stupid you look with that thing in your nose?
Wow, what do you know? Mind your own business.
Well, what is it with you? Getting water up your nose?
Uh-huh.
I can swim the length of the pool and not get water up my nose.
Good for you.
Well, I'm serious, man. I mean, I can get into that pool. I could dive into that pool and not get water up my nose. When did you learn to swim?
6 months ago.
Wow, and you're 75?
But I'm old. And things happen to the body. Water gets up the nose. Sinuses clear. My sinuses have been dripping for years.
Jesus. Maybe it's good it's plugged, because I don't want that crap dripping into the pool.
You smart ass? I'm going to report you to the management. You don't like my nose plug, you ought to see the plug on the other end.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influence.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
This whole thing on dictators, you know, like, it was in one of the magazines. Oh, what happened to the other? Okay, it was in a magazine on the top dictators of the world. They got North Korea, this guy, this fruitcake in North Korea. This guy is battier than this cat is fruitier, battier, goofier. He's got it all. He wins all the prizes with that processed pompadour and the high heel shoes. What? What's going on with the world anyway? How do guys like this get away with it? And he's running his big mouth saying that he's going to kick America's ass. Whatever. Then they got the two old rag wearers from Saudi Arabia. See, all of these guys are practiced in the fine art of torture. Now, did you hear this Iraqi scientist today? I mean, I'm telling you, you don't have to believe him if you don't want to. He was a political prisoner from 1979 to 1991 during the aftermath of the Gulf War, when apparently just all kinds of confusion reigned. He escaped from prison and got out of Iraq. He says his colleagues' wives have been raped in front of them. His children have been tortured in front of them. People's eyes have been gouged out. Now, would it bother any of us if this was going on? Ordinarily, no. Americans don't really get involved in that stuff. However, there's a good possibility that the guy that does all of this also had a hand in supplying or otherwise training or connected himself in some way to Al-Qaeda. That's Saddam Hussein. But they have these other guys. Here's a real piece of work. His name's Charles Taylor. He is the president of Liberia. Now, do you know about Liberia? Liberia became controlled at some point in the 19th century by ex-American slaves who returned to Africa. Their form of law is Anglo-American. So the 2.5% of the population, which is what they call Americo-African, meaning Americans descended from, or Africans descended from American slaves, the 2.5% that makes up that group runs the whole country. And they're corrupt, and they're crooked as the freaking day is long. They murder, they rape, they do everything. Now here's a real garbage can called Equatorial Guinea. Have you ever been to any of these countries, by the way? They're real garbage cans. They're just nothing more than human garbage cans, where the people are treated like utter chattel, and the people that rule these countries, they do it just for the money. I mean, they can control the wealth. Now, this place is called Equatorial Guinea. Again, Here's how he got into trouble. This country, nobody gave a fat flying flip about until 1995. Because guess what happened in 1995? You got it. Oil was discovered there. Now American companies come down there, pour $5 billion into the country. They raise the gross national product to $4,676 a person, but the average citizen only takes home $2 a day. Why? Because this scumbag that runs the country, a guy by the name of Teodoro Obiang Nguema, he steals all the money. Most of the rest of the money goes to him, who controls all branches of the government, continues to arrest, and torture political opponents. Now, why are we down there helping a guy like this? This is where we can do some good as a country. We could go down there. What, Craig? Oil. Well, I know. We can still get the oil and kick this guy's ass out of there. Why don't we do that? We could make friends out of every person in that country. We could still pump a little bit of oil out of there if we wanted to. And we could kick this guy's ass. How long do you think it would take the CIA to mastermind this clown getting pushed out for good? The guy that runs Turkestan, or Turkmenistan, another one of the world's great toilets. He rapes, he loots, he pillages. His name is something you can't even pronounce. Niyazov or some jazz like that. He's a real, real piece of garbage. And, of course, you know Gaddafi. Here's a cat that tortures people. It's common, and he arrests people, secret arrests. He's the head of Libya. Thuan Shui is the head of Burma. He's 70. He's been in power since 1992. And on and on and on it goes. And on the back page here, they got a guy by the name of Alexander Lukashenko. He's the head of Belarus. And he's a dictator, and he tortures, and he mutilates, and he murders, and he cuts people's limbs off and everything else. He thinks communism's fantastic. The world is full of these guys. And the world's got to do something about them. Yeah, I said the world has got to do something about them. That's exactly what I said. Don't give me this bull crap. It's none of our business. You better believe it's our business. This world's getting smaller as we speak. You're damn right it's our business. I can't sit here in America. See, you want to know why it's tough for me to take a vacation in Jamaica? And you're going to think I'm being very hypocritical, and maybe I am, maybe I am. I can't go to Jamaica on vacation because the country is such a toilet that I feel guilty staying in a nice hotel while everybody else is living out of garbage cans. I mean, Jamaica is a crap can. It's a crap can of a country. Mexico. Poor little Mexico. The people are the greatest people in the world. They have suffered for years under one corrupt form of government after another. Pemex, you know, they had an oil strike down in Mexico. You think the Mexican people have seen any of that dough? They got corrupt police down there. They got politicians on the take. They got they've got an army that's on the take. I mean, it's disgusting. And the average person down there just, you know, muddles through his life. You know, it's difficult for me to go down there and enjoy myself, and I know that's going on, but somehow I muddle through. It's difficult for me to stay at the Four Seasons in Punta Mita. I wipe a tear from my eye as I think of the poor people. Look, I didn't say I was perfect, did I? Oh, you mean I did? I'm sorry. But I think it's our business and more. If this stuff is going on, yeah, it is our business. And don't give me this stuff about it. We can't tell people how to live. I'll tell them how to live. This scumbag in Equatorial Guinea, I'll tell that cat how to live real good. And that guy, Charles Taylor. And don't give me this American colonialist stuff either. Don't you dare lay that on me. These guys are down there murdering people, pulling their eyeballs out of their heads. What are we supposed to do? Sit on our hands? Say nothing about it?
It's none of our business, people of the world. I mean, everybody's got to just chill. Let everybody be. Let's live in harmony and peace.
No. No, I don't want to. No. Not while there's a guy like this stealing money from people and my country's doing business with this guy. I say we take this guy Nguema out and we do whatever we want with him, okay? But then we start pumping the oil for good, because that's really what the whole thing's about, isn't it? All right, the Phil Hendry Show will continue in a few minutes. We have other exciting things to tell you, including a visit from our very dear friend. Who is it, Vernon Dozier? He'll be coming up. Vernon apparently owns a polling company, and he doesn't like the way people lie. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.